If you saw the news recently, you know there's been a lot of talk over the last several days about this 16-year-old kid from Pennsylvania. He earned $3 million by winning the Fortnite World Cup gaming competition. It's a big sport. The most active group is teenage boys, a lot of whom are already earning six figures. And can you believe it? Just for playing video games. Hey, Brad, Steve and I saw not all that long ago, we were talking about it maybe a few months back, that there were parents who were actually paying for their kids to be tutored in gaming so that they could win. This is crazy.
It's a different world than what, for those that aren't involved in it, it's something we don't really understand very well.
Well, is it a legitimate career path? I mean, what do you think?
When I originally heard that idea of people making a career out of playing video games, I gotta be honest and say that I really, really struggled with that idea. I thought, how can someone possibly play video games and make a legitimate career out of it? Work has never looked like this at any point in history. So we think of, okay, what's a traditional job? And video games does not fit into that mold. So I had to just take a step back and try to objectively look at this idea from both sides, obviously weigh in Scripture as my counsel. And when I looked at Scripture, what I typically find is that, well, we're called to be fair, we're called to be honest in our dealings, but then we see the warnings, and the typical warnings against those who are not doing work is that they're either a dreamer or they're a sluggard. And those two types of people are commonly trying to separate money from work or money from effort. And when you look at these kids that are playing video games, or even the adults that are playing them, really they're anything but this definition of a sluggard, because a sluggard is trying to avoid work, and these people are grinding out like 10 to 12 hours a day of playing video games, trying to hone the skills that it takes to play those specific games. So when I look at it from the standpoint of the actual effort being put in and money being in relationship with the effort, I don't see a problem with it from that standpoint. And, you know, it's hard for us to actually consider these as legitimate jobs, but it's just because they look different than we've ever seen before.
Well, it's interesting. I think going back to, Brad, just, you know, 20, 25 years ago when X Games were first coming out, you know, we looked at sports and said, oh, Olympic, or baseball, or, you know, football, the common ones. And then you were like, well, what? You're going to make a career out of being a snowboarder and, like, you know, and those kinds of things. And now it's commonly accepted. So I would imagine that at some point we may see the same thing here, but are there comparisons that we can make to jobs that we would consider, you know, quote unquote, legitimate in order to help us to wrestle with this idea?
Yeah, and I think the idea of taking it to other sports is about the easiest way for us to process, at least it was for me. So competitive gaming is commonly referred to as esports. And when you compare that to other sports, the conclusion that I get to is that gaming really isn't that much different, because what you have is you have somebody that's taking a specific skill set and they're trying to hone it for a specific game. So you look at any professional athlete, that's really what they're trying to do. Most of those games are going to be more physical. So whether it's the snowboarder, whether it's the person that's training to be a baseball player, a basketball player, whatever it is, I mean, even professional golf, all of these types of sports take a specific skill set. So when we look at the skill set required in gaming, it's not so much the physical side, it's more the mental side. They have to be masters of strategy, they have to be quick problem solvers, and just at the, if you look at any video from the Fortnite World Championship, which in my research I watched quite a bit, and then I found myself watching more than I probably should, but what you see is these people are moving at lightning fast pace and making decisions so quickly. And these are skills that we would normally praise in life, that people are figuring out how to problem solve and how to strategize. But somehow when we associate it with gaming, we quickly start to look down upon, okay, those may be the skills in this part of life, but in that part, yeah, in video gaming, we're not going to give it as much credibility. So what I do, I find myself being very hypocritical when I compare other sports that I would consider legitimate ways of earning money, but then I look at video games and gaming and the skills that people are using there and say, well, no, that's not as legitimate. And I feel very hypocritical when I do that.
Brad, where's all the money coming from that these kids, these teenagers, are able to make a career from gaming?
That's an obvious question, because this Fortnite World Cup paid out $30 million in prize money. So there's a lot of money going out there. So the video game market by itself generated over $130 billion last year. So if you look at a video game just like Fortnite itself, it generated over $2.4 billion last year, which was the biggest amount ever earned by a video game in 1 year. So there's a lot of money in this industry. Then you go to esports by themselves. So that, again, is the competitive and spectator part of the industry. And it's expected to generate over $1.1 billion this year in revenue. And when you look at the size of the audience, here's where the key is. This audience is enormous. The audience for competitive gaming, so that's just people watching these games, is bigger than the combination of HBO, Netflix, ESPN, and Hulu all combined. So when you have this much traffic following anything, there's going to be a lot of money that you can pay for those who are providing the entertainment. And so you just look at that World Cup as the example. There is so much involvement and so many people that are watching it that it just takes pennies on the dollar to be able to get sponsorships and things like that that'll pay out the prize money. And when you look at people that are making a living off of this, the most popular gamers typically have a lot of different revenue sources. So it's not just from tournament prize money, but they get donations from fans, they get advertisement sponsorships, all those typical things we would associate with a sport.
It's interesting. As I think about this, you know, there are ETFs that are popping up around this and these venture funds that are just really looking at that because, as you said, this is tremendous. You know, when I think of ESPN, HBO, Netflix, and Hulu combined, that's a lot of people who are looking at this stuff. That is just enormous. So what about the person who says they want to make a career out of gaming, right? We're starting to hear more about development programs for folks who are interested in this. And, you know, years ago we had, you know, video game developer wasn't even an opportunity. But now that's a legitimate degreed career path. So will we be seeing things like that in the future?
I think we're going to see a lot of things we didn't expect. And like you said, developing and all this back end of gaming, you know, there's kind of our typical computer-type, software-type careers where people are writing the stuff, let alone just playing the games.
Yeah.
But on the playing side of things, you've got colleges that are going out there and offering scholarships to try to attract people in. There's more than 100 colleges that are offering scholarships right now. Some of the big colleges across the country are actually building arenas to be able to show the video game competitions. And you're getting sponsorships that where the gaming companies are coming in and offering partnerships with these universities to offer the gaming competitions, to offer the scholarships to the individuals coming in. So what they're trying to do is find these kids that have that strong interest and the ability, bring them in, and then train them in gaming, but then also possibly give them avenues to the other aspects of the career. And for the kid that's looking to go into gaming or says, yeah, I can make a career out of gaming, we want to treat it like any other type of career choice, or especially compare it to that professional sports type career again, where there's going to be a lot of people say that they want to do that, and probably a very, very select few will ever be able to make it a legitimate career. So we want to make sure that we're looking at it from a biblical standpoint and also from a wisdom standpoint. So are they wanting to make it a career because it seems like, well, I can avoid work for life if I can make this a career? So are they wanting to separate work and money? If so, we certainly have to give caution to that. But then we also need to surround them with just good advice and wisdom in that, you know, yeah, you say you want to do that. It sounds like fun because you enjoy playing video games, but you probably don't really have these skill sets that it's going to take to ever make it that way. So just like with any kid playing sports that says they want to be a professional athlete, we got to have that wisdom along the way.
This is crazy. I just never thought I would see the day that this would be a career choice.
You know, here's the thing, though. There's no limitations on the longevity of that career, mm-hmm. because you can't, you know, you can't blow out your elbow like a pitcher would, or blow out your knees like a football player. The injuries are pretty low. So I think you could have a very long and sustained, I mean, unless you start to get like, you know, bruises, like bed sores from sitting down on your butt all day playing games, you know, you're pretty well got good longevity in that.
I don't know, Brad. Maybe this is your second career.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I've already passed that prime.
You sure we can't sponsor you? Maybe you could play Pitfall or something?
If you bring back the old games, I might have a shot.
Yeah, there you go.
We don't have any money to sponsor you with. We can just give you stuff that we find around the radio station as compensation.
Brad Graber, Pong Champion 2020.
Oh, man. Well, Brad, thanks for this. This was interesting today, and we did want to point you to Brad's website also for resources really that are going to help you get your finances under control, including his boot camp series. It's there. It's free to you. This is his ministry. It is all Bible-based, and you can find all he has to offer at investinginTruth.com, or just click on the Resources tab that you'll find at kellyandsteve.org. Brad, you have an awesome week. Get out there, train hard, buddy.
I'll be hard at it.
I know you will. All right.